The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
This is Tyler Potts on XFM.
Oh, yeah, it all comes down to this. Toddler Pops on XFM. This is what it is. A four-year-old child plays a tune on a toy xylophone. All we ask of you is that you identify said tune. As I said, if you guess it correctly, today's prize is a pair of tickets to see Jack White at the O2 next Wednesday. It's the 19th of November. We need to speak to her, so here she is this morning. Hello, Maisie. Morning.
It's Christmas time, John Holmes.
Well, not yet, it isn't.
There's no need to be afraid.
Okay, what are you doing?
I'm practicing a Band-Aid song. Right. There's a new lineup. I'm waiting for Sir Bob to call.
Right.
I'll be playing my xylophone on the track for Africa.
Right, I think the lineup's already been announced, though.
Let me see that.
Well, look there.
Oh, I see Bono has downloaded himself into it.
Yes.
Chris Martin's consciously coupled himself to it.
Yes.
And who's Ebola? He's probably a rapper.
No, it's a disease. They're changing the song to be about the disease.
So they stopped famine.
Well, no, they didn't. I mean, they're just moving on to another worthy cause. That's all. That's what they're.
Before both stop famine, why?
Well, I don't know why. It's not. I don't.
What about the famine people? How are they going to feel seeing Bob and Midge dropping them and moving on to the Ebola people?
Well, the music industry's fickle, isn't it? It's
certainly bloody is.
Shall we
play a tune? Yes, please.
Let's just do it. Well, thanks. That was...
Shut up, John!
All right. So, you think you know what that was? What artist was that? Being played on a toy xylophone. Yes, we know it's a glockenspiel, but you try arguing with her. What was it? Well, before we find out, let's meet the person who will have the answer, we hope. She's called Zoe. Good morning, Zoe.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. How are you, Zoe? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you for asking. Yes, where are you, Zoe, and what do you do?
I'm in Plymouth and I work at Plymouth University Students' Union.
Oh, I see, interesting. Well, it might be that you have to make your way to that fabled London that there is next
week.
Oh,
my God.
I know. To see Jack White at the O2. But, of course, it all hinges on whether or not you correctly guessed the tune as played by a four-year-old child. Before you give us your answer, I'll press the right button now and we'll recap a very little bit of what she played. What, Zoe, was that? Who was that? What was that?
I think it was the Foo Fighters' Learn to Fly.
Is the right answer, of course. Congratulations. You will be going to see Jack White at the O2 next Wednesday night, Zoe. Well done to
you.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, my God. Plymouth just got a little bit more excited this morning. well done, Zoe.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
You're welcome. Good morning. Hello. Good Thursday. 9 minutes past seven. You're listening to XFM Breakfast. I am John Holmes. And joining us on XFM Breakfast tomorrow morning, I am pleased to tell you, it'll be Dave Grohl. Only Dave Grohl out of Foo Fighters. He's been in with Danielle Perry, of course, on the XFM Evening Show all week, but that's fine, isn't it? It's very... very, very insightful as well. It's been interesting. They've been talking about the new album. He's been talking about his love of Oasis, his love of Royal Blood. Of course, Royal Blood announced as their support act for the Foo Fighters UK tour that was only announced yesterday evening, I think. And that's all very well. And Danielle is a seasoned interviewer. Danielle Perry from The Evening Show on XFM. You know, she's... let us not forget, she has awards for doing this kind of thing. She is an excellent, excellent music presenter. One of the finest you'll ever hear. And we're going to flip that by putting Dave Grohl on tomorrow with me, basically an amateurish buffoon with no real idea of what he's doing. So the good news for that is that Dave Grohl, who, let's face it, is going to be bored out of his mind answering questions about his new album, isn't he? Sonic Highways. Oh, tell us about the new album. Well, I went around the cities. Right, yeah, we're boring. We've heard, yes, Dave will be bored out of his mind telling this story over and over and over again. So rather than that, what we thought we'd do was grill Grohl on things that are utterly irrelevant to him, right? So this is why we need your help. If you'd like to ask a question of Foo Fighters frontman, and that's alliteration right there, Dave Grohl, then we want to hear from you. 83936 at XFM on Twitter. I mean, they're already coming in, which is because we've tweeted this out. Brooklyn Baby on Twitter. Please do ask Dave, hashtag Grill Grohl, how do you keep your hair looking so shiny?
Yes, good question.
A very good question.
I mean, I imagine there's some jojoba involved, surely.
Probably some organic oatmeal.
Quinoa.
Black quinoa from... and shea butter from yesterday's texting. Perhaps we could take him some.
That's a reference back to something that happened yesterday, everyone.
That's right, but fortunately, it was around this time, so yeah, technically speaking, much the same people will be listening.
Hopefully.
So, your question, 83936 at XFM on Twitter. This is from Buddy Holly on Twitter. Obvious question first. Dave, does jumping around on stage so much make your nipples hurt? Does it? If they rub against your shirt when you're doing exercise. I mean, that can happen, can't it?
Yeah, I presume you take some precautions to stop that happening.
I've heard Vaseline.
Yes, Vaseline is the way forward, I'd imagine.
That's what you do, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Matt does move around a lot during the news, and it does chafe him somewhat.
Yeah.
Around the teats. Have you got a question for Dave?
I was just thinking, the album's called Sonic Highways, obviously, as we all know. Mm. I just wanted to know whether that is actually inspired by Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic Adventure 2, the latest version, and the Radical Highway stage for the Nintendo 3DS, the Sonics, the Highways.
Yeah.
I think it was. I just want the confirmation on that front, really.
Another question. Dave Grohl, thanks for coming into XFM Breakfast. In your opinion, who would win in a fight, in a kung fu fight, between Little Rabbit Foo Foo from the song, the children's song Little Rabbit Foo Foo, and a lady's Foo Foo? Who would win in a fight, a kung fu fight?
I think that's your interview opener, sort of.
And possibly the closer. Hi, Dave Grohl, says Simon in Burnley. Michael Jackson didn't blame it on the sunshine, the moonlight or the good times, but preferred to shift the blame to the boogie. If the boogie was proved innocent in a court of law, which of the other three would you personally point the finger at? Question. Very good question.
It's a very good question.
Matt, what have you got?
Pete the pool builder would ask Dave if he's been missold PPI. While Kath would ask, do you keep your tomato ketchup in the cupboard or the fridge? Good, the age-old debate.
Question. Rob Hills, Dave Grohl, would you rather be in a cage with a horny tiger or a horny lion? Brackets, they can be male or female, that's not important.
Or would you rather be attacked by a horse-sized duck or 20 duck-sized horses? Asks Anonymous.
Dave Grohl, if a particle A of mass 3 kilograms is moved up a rough plane at an angle of 37 degrees to the horizontal with an acceleration of 0.5 meters per second squared, what is the coefficient of friction?
Good question.
All good questions, including this. Dave, would you rather have Monster Munch for feet or What's Hits for fingers?
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM. Music News.
That's right, it's the music news. Matt's off. He's... I think he's going to the jungle. Not because of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, but because he's like a Japanese soldier of years ago. He thinks the war isn't over. So we've lost him, but it's all right because we've got Santa. Hello, Santa.
Hello, John.
And it's fine because Matt's set the bar very low. So
that's quite easy.
So don't you worry. It's going to be fine. What's in the music news this morning?
Okay, first off, Ozzy Osbourne was named a global icon at the MTV EMAs in Glasgow last night. Here's the Black Sabbath frontman's reaction to getting the award.
I don't know. I'm in kind of shock myself. When Sharon told me about it, I was like, what? It's a wonderful...
If I could just translate, I think he said he was quite shocked but really happy.
Play it again.
What? I don't know. I'm kind of shocked myself. But Sharon told me about it. His feet are wonderful accolade.
His feet are a wonderful accolade. Feet are a wonderful accolade, I think is what, what he said. Yeah. I once spent an afternoon with Ozzy Osbourne in his house, right? And for about that 3.5 hours, and he gave me a tour of the house and the garden and so on and so forth. I didn't understand a word he said the whole time. It was more or less like...
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
It's where we slate it with flowers. XFM is sort of like your anti-flora service. If you've been wronged by a git of any kind, then we want to hear about it, and we will, on your behalf, send the metaphorical dead flowers. Hi, John. Can you just say a very big thank you and send dead flowers to my neighbours who this weekend celebrated Bonfire Night by seemingly firing rockets directly into and above our garden and then lit a bonfire against the fence? That meant that all their ash blew onto our house, making it look like something from Threads, if you remember. The horrific nuclear war-based drama from the BBC years ago. That's from Gary there. Welcome, Gary. We'll send them the flowers. They'd only burn them. Sunter, what have you got there?
This is from Joel in Walthamstow, who says, please say thanks very much to the battery on my laptop for giving up. So it now has to be plugged in all the time. And thanks to the woman in the cafe who unplugged the wrong laptop by mistake, meaning I lost half an hour of my work.
Yep, consider them sent, Joel. Dan in Chesham would like flowers sent to 8 coachloads of school children. This is going to be expensive, this one. 8 coachloads of school children. Thanks to them, because they arrived in Lee Delamere services just before I did over the weekend, which meant my planned 2-minute stop for a wee and a coffee took over half an hour, thanks to all the queuing and the noise. God, the noise is ridiculous.
Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
7:08, Friday morning. Let it be known as the day that Dave Grohl out of Offa Foo Fighters flew out of the country. So what happened was, yesterday Dave Grohl invited us to go and hang out in his hotel room with him, which I have to say was one of the best experiences of my life, hanging out in a hotel room with Dave Grohl. So that's what happened. This is the interview that we did with him. Here we go. So, good morning then. This is XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes, and I'm joined, hot guest action this morning, joined by the star of a single edition of the 2013 The High Fructose Adventures of Annoying Orange TV series, in which he played Major Chipwitch, and someone who, for me, will always be the definitive man in one episode of The X-Files in 1996. There's a small matter of...
I think I'm on screen for about a second and a half. I'll take it, though. I got it. I like hot guests, too. I've never had that before.
The small matter of music, of course, as well. Dave Grohl, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
How are you? I'm all right.
Thanks. Yeah. Let's talk about The X-Files very quickly, because you had to do the one show over here, didn't you, in the UK? Is that the strangest thing you've ever done, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, by far.
Isn't it weird?
It was insane. Yeah. I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
People watching that have no idea what it is, either.
Let me tell you, I got to sit next to Gillian Anderson for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me, baby. That was great.
So what? So did you talk about your early X-Files appearance?
I think they mentioned it. I was too busy looking at her, but I think they mentioned it.
Yeah.
And then they showed it, and I don't think anybody even saw it. It goes by so quickly. I used to live in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would go to Vancouver just to hang out every once in a while, because it's a great city, and that's where they filmed a lot of the X-Files stuff. So the Foo Fighters had, I think, put a song on an X-Files soundtrack or something, and I was obsessed with that series.
Yeah.
I'm like a UFO freak, right?
Well, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, exactly. It's a slang term for UFOs. Yeah. So I was in town, and they said, yeah, just come down to the set. And then the director said, yeah, you want to do a walk-on? Just walk by the camera. And I literally walk past the camera for a second and a half. But then I could tell all my friends that, yeah, I was on X-Files. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, let's talk about cities, because that's kind of the what's been going on with the album. And you'll stop me if you're absolutely sick to the back teeth of talking about this.
I am not. Spreading the good word.
Excellent. So this, I mean, the whole project, you've been thinking about it for a while. This was a big, you know, it's been many years. This
yeah.
was
And it's kind of, it's the musical history of America, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tricky because there's no way you could tell the story of American music in 8 one-hour episodes. So we kind of tell, we tell a story.
Yeah.
And that story, some of it's personal, you know.
Yeah,
some of it has to do with our connection to these cities. I grew up in Washington, D.C., so I couldn't wait to tell my story of my history. And then we, you know, we go to other cities that I just knew nothing about. Like New Orleans, I'd been to before, just a binge drink for 3 or 4 days. But I didn't really know that much about the history of the city.
I spent, probably like you, I spent some time in New Orleans when I was a student. But I went there and it was sort of 2 nights, that's all I was in for. And did spend the entire time sort of a bit mashed, wandering around Bourbon Street all night.
It's sort of what you do. Well, you know, the great thing about that city is that music is just everywhere.
Yeah, you just
coming out of bars, there's someone on the street playing it, there's a parade marching down the street, and it just becomes a part of the city's like tempo and energy, and people dance, you know, and they celebrate life every minute of every day.
So we'll come back and talk more. Are you okay to hang around a bit?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Dave Grohl with us on XFM Breakfast this morning.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. It's Friday.
We're going to have a good time.
XFM's Thirst Friday.
Oh, yeah. So, Thirst Friday returned at the end of last week, the first Friday of the month. It is when we take you to the pub and ply you with drink. And in this case, pies, it seems. A while back, in the mists of time, we thought it would be a good idea to, take anyone who turned up at a pub of our choosing for a sort of Friday drink. It's not got completely out of hand yet, although it has come close, I have to say. Basically, we put money behind the bar of one of London's finest pubs once a month and invite you along. It was on Friday. It was Thirst Friday. Quite a lot of people turned up, it has to be said. There are now some regulars, which is slightly disturbing. plenty of new people as well. Myself, news dog Matt Dyson, producer Dave, producer Simon. On Friday, we went to the Admiralty in Trafalgar Square. You had to turn up with a particular passphrase, which was, only the brave would make sweet, sweet love beneath Ian Camfield's moon. That is what you had to say on arrival to get in. Most people did, it's fair to say. Now, we'll be announcing the next location before the first Friday of next month. It'll be our Christmas one. Feel free to join us. But in the meantime, here is what happened on Friday, Thirst Friday, by numbers. We have various statistics. Producer Dave, morning, Dave.
Morning.
He's a stickler for statistics, obviously, as you'd imagine, because he's dull like that. So here is Thirst Friday by numbers this morning. Here we go. So, first off,
3.
Hopeful blaggers trying to enter Thirst Friday without knowing the passphrase.
True.
3.
Hopeful blaggers trying to enter Thirst Friday and doing so successfully because producer Dave was too much of a wimp to turn anyone away.
21.
Minutes before the first person asked John Holmes why he wasn't wearing his crap leather jacket.
Just, I wore a leather jacket once on stage with the Stereophonics. I haven't heard the end of it yet.
6.
People to leave immediately when told that friend of the show, Vexen Le Crowley, the high priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon, wouldn't actually be attending at all because he was busy sacrificing animals.
12.
Pedants, who keenly pointed out the spelling mistake on our brand new breakfast show beer mats.
Yeah, a bit embarrassing that. There we go.
4.
Attractive nurses who didn't turn up this time despite promising to last time, much to intern Josh's disappointment.
1.
A girl who turned up 2 months ago to the Thirst Friday 2 months ago with her friend and, having never listened to the show ever before, promised to, and then this time turned up again, drank loads more wine on our dollar before admitting she'd still never bloody even listened to it.
200.
Excellent Fuller's Pub Pies. Ah, Thirst Friday. You'd be very welcome, except not that girl again, not her. we'll give you the details, of course, just a few days before. First days into December, it will be our Christmas special next time. First Friday only on XFM.
X, the X XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Song from my hell.
XFM's Song from Hell.
If you're a regular listener, you'll know this is where we torture your ears. By dragging from the bowels of Hades the worst bits of songs ever recorded, for we, Frankenstein-like, at the top of the XFM tower, sew together the worst bits of songs to create the ultimate monster. Last week, you'll have heard us find the worst bits of gratuitous and pointless spelling in songs. We've done spoken word, we've done rhyming couplets that are terrible, we've done worst intros to songs. Last week it was the turn of spelling. It involved Gwen Stefani inexplicably spelling out the word bananas, Daphne and Celeste, U-G-L-Y, and partners in crime with a K, itself spelt wrong, spelling out turtle power. It sounded a little bit like this. Absolutely appalling on every level. Now, this week, we need your help, please, because we are searching for the worst bits of repetition in songs. You know, when a songwriter just sort of runs out of ideas, you can always tell, and they sort of go, oh, I've run out of lyrical ideas, but I've still got some music left that I've got to fill. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll just repeat a phrase, or even worse, a word, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I bring to the table, I serve you this morning with my example, which is a delicious slice, and by delicious, I mean appallingly crap, slice of Rihanna's birthday cake. If you're not familiar with its horror, right, how lazy do you have to be to produce this?
Just what you mean, what's the... It's like it's stuck. It's like the CD has broken. What the hell is that? Cake, 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 cake. Shut up, Rihanna.
Absolutely shocking. Sandra, I know you've got one that annoys
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I see your cake.
Yeah.
And I raise you.
Yeah.
I raise you to two unlimited, no limits. You think it's going to finish, but it carries
no,
it on.
No, it goes on and on and on. In fact, they actually should combine the two with There's No Cake. And that's so there it is. That's what we need from you this morning, please. We need your suggestions for the worst bits of repetition in songs as part of XFM's Song from Hell. 83936 at XFM on Twitter. Hashtag it's Song from Hell this morning. Your suggestions, very welcome. XFM Song from Hell.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Yesterday afternoon, I went to hang out, not like literally, not like, you know, bodily, with Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters in a hotel room. Which I have to say was one of the best experiences of my life. What a lovely fellow. This is part two of the interview. Here we go. Foo Fighters, of course, got, I think, am I right in saying they were, you kind of broke in the UK bigger than you did in the States first?
Always. Everything that happened to this band happened here first.
Yeah. So is the next album, what, tour of UK towns, I'm thinking, that you could do?
Well, you know, this is something that people ask me, like, are you going to do this again? I'm like, I am never doing this again.
Look, the towns in England are spread as wide apart as they are in the States. You'd do it in a day. Down to Margate for Chaz and Dave. You go to, you do Glasgow with the Proclaimers. The whole of Somerset would be the Wurzels. You could nail this in a day.
Here's the thing. I mean, we're an American band. We are an American band, and we are the band that we are because of the bands that came before us, yeah. Right? And so I feel like people from countries all over the world could do the same thing just by exploring their musical heritage and the roots that sort of gave birth to their family tree. Because, I mean, you know, I always use Black Sabbath as an example. Sabbath only could have come from Birmingham.
Yeah, there's no way. Time as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, like yeah. You think about that area and you think about the environment, and then you listen to Sabbath, and you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense to me. You know.
Well, that's where heavy metal, the term apparently came from anyway, because of the metal industry in the Midlands.
There you go.
I'm from Nuneaton, which is about where you should go.
I've been.
You've not been to Nuneaton.
No, I've never been to that place.
What do you make of this? Talking about gigs and whether or not the towns of the UK. There's been this crowdfunding idea. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
About getting you to play Cornwall and I think Birmingham.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. It started with these people in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. I'm from Virginia. And we hadn't been there, I guess, since 1998. And so these four people put this campaign together to bring us back. And they said, if we're going to sell 1,500 tickets, if we sell all these tickets, then we're going to try to get the Foo Fighters to come. We heard about them doing it. It was on the local news and stuff. We heard about it. So we kind of like nudged them and encouraged them. Like, okay, let's see if you can do it. And they did it. And we showed up. We walk on stage. And those 1,500 people, it was like the loudest applause. We hadn't even played a song yet. And it was just like, wow. For like 2 minutes. It was amazing, man. We played for 3 hours. It was so much fun. You know, the great thing about it is that, like, there's no disconnect between the audience and the band. It's great. You don't have to deal with anything. You just cut out the middleman, and it's just the people want to see the band. That's all good. The tricky part is you have to understand that, like, we also have to do what we have to do. But I think we've figured out a way that we can do both. And we haven't told anyone about it yet, but I think we're going to do something that no one has done yet. I've never talked to anybody about this before, but I think I've found a way that we can make it work with the band and the people so that there will be a time where we can cut out the middleman and let the people decide where the Foo Fighters should play a show. Not all the time, but maybe sometimes, because you got to let us do what we got to do.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
And this is where, slightly earlier than usual, we invite the High Priest Vexen Le Crowley into the studio. He's a friend of the show, of course. He is the High Priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon. That's the devil-worshipping temple. And he comes in with his thought for the day. For Satanists, and the reason he does it is because other radio stations, other breakfast shows, have their moment where they invite someone of a religious bent to come in and give us an anecdote from their lives, which they tenuously link to whatever it is they believe in, to help you touch your spiritual side. We're no different, except we cater for the market the others seem to have left behind, i.e. devil worshippers. Here he is, then, with another of his thought for the day for Satanists. It's Vexen Le Crowley.
Good morning. Now, last week, my wife announced she was going away with work for a couple of days. We hadn't been on holiday together for a while. Much of our spare time is spent building flaming pyres in the woods to praise the name of the Dark One, ransacking graveyards for body parts, or gardening. So, I thought I'd drive up and surprise her. And what a surprise, particularly as I booked into the same hotel and took my mistress along. Imagine, I thought, seeing the look on my wife's face when we met over breakfast the following morning and the full weight of my infidelities became clear. Anyway, just as myself and Elvira were checking into the hotel, who should walk into the hotel reception but my wife, arm in arm with my best friend Clive from our local book group. And then I thought, you know, Satan is a bit like that, isn't he? For in the same way that once you realise your wife has been having an affair with your best friend for upwards of 15 years, so Satan makes his wicked ways clear to you at the most inopportune time. And just as I realised the clues had been there all along, so Diablo's evil path has always been there, in front of your stupid face the entire time. And that's why, after the initial awkwardness, I suggested we all enjoy a swift half in the hotel bar before all retiring to the same bedroom, inviting a few new pals we met in the bar, hotel corridors and hotel kitchen along the way. And in the ensuing debauchery, as I, spent, emptied the minibar that I presumed Clive would be paying for, I realised I should have known my wife's story was a ruse. She doesn't even have a job. Not since she got fired from TK Maxx for murder. And that should give us all something to think about.
The High Priest Vexen Le Crowley there with his
thought for the day for Satanists.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. You're my favourite
waste of time. And, you know, as it's Friday, hell, just kick back. If you go to work, if you're on your way to work, work to do today or anything to do today, you know, our advice to you is forget it, it's Friday. Why not waste time instead on the boss's dollar, right? That's what we, yeah, hell, we condone it. We advise it. Your boss asks why you're not doing anything and why you're just, you know, checking Facebook. Just say, John from the XFM Breakfast Show said it was fine. And your boss will go, oh, okay. This is where we collate your favourite wastes of time. The ways you waste time at work on a Friday, or indeed any other day. Share yours with the nation, and together we will become more relaxed in our workspaces. For instance, Craig has a good time. He works in a cafe, and he's just got in touch on 83936. I work in a cafe, John, and if someone orders beans with their breakfast on a Friday, beans, I ask them if they want regular or extra red. They always say, without fail, extra red. Yeah, there is no extra red. I've made it up.
Extra red.
Brilliant. Good. Brilliant. What have you got, Matt?
Well, on a similar food note, we've had an anonymous one from a guy who works in Subway. Yeah. And he says, when someone asks for a foot long today, I will always ask, in which direction? Because I am hilarious and oh so bored.
Your favourite waste of time, please. 83936 at XFM on Twitter. I work in a petrol station, says Ash. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to introduce a new system. It's called Comics on the Top Shelf, Porn on the Bottom Shelf. And as I leave, I'm going to leave it there over the weekend for someone else to figure out. Deep down, I want to get sacked. I think that's a cry for help, isn't it? Essentially, that's coming from it. Your suggestion, please, 83936 at XFM on Twitter. I'm going to open up all the dairy milks in the newsagent I work in today and try and melt them together in one really, really long one, just to kill an hour or so of a boring Friday. I'm not worried about being caught because I'm the boss and I just don't care anymore.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
It's called Left Hand Free. You listen to XFM. It's 25 minutes past 8 Friday morning. And we were joined by Foo Fighter Dave Grohl. We went to hang out in his hotel room yesterday afternoon. And, you know, recorded bits of it. The stuff that's broadcastable, that's what you've been listening to in the last half an hour. You remember yesterday we asked for your questions for Dave Grohl. We said we want your weird and mental questions. Well, that's what I put to him next. Here we go with the next bit of the interview.
Can I ask you some questions from this week? We had our listeners come up with some questions.
Yeah, that's
because we decided you might be a bit bored of the same questions over and over again while promoting an album and stuff. These came in. So this is from Robert Hills on Twitter. We were using the hashtag GrillGrohl, by the way.
Nice.
I thought you'd like that. What would you rather be in a cage with, a horny tiger or a horny lion? They can be male or female, that's not important.
I'd probably go for the tiger.
Why?
Lions are just so hairy.
You can, you know, and you're quite hairy, so it'd be a clash.
A little bit, we'll see.
This is from Kath. Do you keep your tomato ketchup in the cupboard or the fridge?
In the fridge. You know, I am sort of on the fence about refrigerating things like peanut butter or ketchup. I prefer my peanut butter creamy and warm.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
My wife likes it in the fridge.
I've got to create
so attention. When I have to make like peanut butter sandwiches for the kids before school, and you're digging into it like it's a candle, it drives me. It takes up too much time. Like the kids are gonna be late for school because of that peanut butter. What do you do? I don't know. Is that weird? I've never been asked that question before.
I'm glad. I'm taking that as another scoop.
It's great. Yeah,
this is gonna be a headline.
Best interview of the day.
Final question. This is from. It's anonymous. So I don't know how this is gonna work. But dear Dave, I lost my shoe at your first UK gig at Reading Festival.
Whoops.
Did you find it afterwards, and can you send it back?
Yeah, but I'll tell you a funny story. There was a Nirvana gig on. I can't remember where we were, but this is in like 1993. And we would play a bunch of songs, and then Kurt would put down his electric guitar and he'd pick up an acoustic, and we'd do a couple acoustic songs. Well, at one point during the set, this shoe comes flying out of the mosh pit and hits him in the chest. It happens every once in a while, but I guess it just like that was the straw that broke the camel's back. So he turns around on stage facing me, pulls out his into the shoe, and turns around to the audience and says, "Hey, whose shoe is this?" After the gig, this sweet girl comes up and is like, "Hey, I lost my shoe in the mosh pit. Have you guys found it?" And Kurt had just pissed in her shoe by accident. I don't think he gave it back. He was, as much as he seemed like he was a wild man, he was very much a sweet gentleman, for sure.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl with us on XFM Breakfast this morning.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
It's where we slate it with flowers. XFM is sort of like your anti-flora service. If you've been wronged by a git of any kind, then we want to hear about it, and we will, on your behalf, send the metaphorical dead flowers. Hi, John. Can you just say a very big thank you and send dead flowers to my neighbours who this weekend celebrated Bonfire Night by seemingly firing rockets directly into and above our garden and then lit a bonfire against the fence that meant that all their ash blew onto our house, making it look like something from Threads, if you remember. The horrific nuclear war-based drama from the BBC years ago. That's from Gary there. Well, welcome, Gary. We'll send them the flowers. They'd only burn them. Sumter, what have you got there?
This is from Joel in Walthamstow, who says, please say thanks very much to the battery on my laptop for giving up. So it now has to be plugged in all the time. And thanks to the woman in the cafe who unplugged the wrong laptop by mistake, meaning I lost half an hour of my work.
Yep, consider them sent, Joel. Dan in Chesham would like flowers sent to 8 coachloads of school children. This is going to be expensive, this one. 8 coachloads of school children. Thanks to them, because they arrived in Lee Delamere services just before I did over the weekend, which meant my planned 2-minute stop for a wee and a coffee took over half an hour, thanks to all the queuing and the noise. God, the noise is ridiculous. Slating it with flowers this Monday morning on XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. You're my
favourite waste of time. Ah, yes. From Kasabian to Owen Paul. My favourite waste of time. That's what we're after. It's Friday. It's XFM Breakfast. It's just gone 9:10. And on a Friday, we like to find your favourite ways of wasting time at work, please. That's what people do on a Friday. 83936 at XFM on Twitter. This is just coming. I love this. This is from Felicity. Morning, Felicity. John, I work in a hotel. And on a Friday, like clockwork, me and my colleagues, we play mini Skittles in one of the corridors. With 10 of those tiny shower gel bottles that you get, and a glass eye I once found in one of the rooms.
Nice.
I love that. Matt, what have you got?
The middle-class rebel says she often puts the paper in the photocopier wonky, thus resulting in a complex paper jam for me to rectify.
Good idea. Wasting time at work. Similarly, there's no name on this, but John, I'm a painter and decorator, and on a Friday, I deliberately paint one wall the wrong colour. And then, of course, I have to paint it the right colour by the end of the day. It's just a waste of my time. I just do it because it's just wasting time. I like this. John, I work for an out-of-town drive-through fast food chain. This is from Jenny. And if it's very quiet, what we do on a Friday is we take a burger wrapped up, and then we take the warning slippery floor sign. You know, that sort of the one that rests on the floor.
Yeah,
and sort of it's
yellow plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, yeah.
We take that, we take a wrapped-up burger, and then we go and play rounders in the car park. And then she just goes, I think they're going to close our branch down soon. Every single item that I handle or hand to one of my customers today, I'm going to warn them that it may contain nuts, says Jonathan. Then he writes, I work as an administrative assistant in a solicitor's office.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Hey, good morning. It's 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. And it is Wednesday on XFM. And elsewhere. We don't just have our own, you know, time zone. On a Wednesday, what we like to do is run through some of the newspapers. But not the obvious ones. Not the ones that everyone else on a breakfast programme goes to. They leaf through the papers, don't they? You get them on the television. Sitting on the sofa there, trying not to be sick at the sight of Eamon Holmes gurning at them. And Sky's sofa, and ditto on the BBC with those two that are on that. They have people in to review the papers, don't they? That's because that's what it needs. It needs that to give an insight, to give cast an expert eye over it. Oh, look, there's former presenter of the BBC One daytime quiz Turnabout, Rob Curley, sitting on the sofa. And he's examining the Daily Express's coverage of the immigrant benefit tourism.
Hey, there he is.
That's what we want.
Oh, look there. Who's that sitting next to Eamon Holmes there? It's Abs. It's Abs from Five. Was it Abs? Abs from Five. He's going through the Financial Times' article on the major banks being fined $3.2 billion in the Global Forex Probe. Abs from Five. That's not for us. They do those papers. We go through the largely irrelevant ones, of course, here on our sofa. And joining me on the sofa this morning, very pleased to say, the notable celebrity news reading gentleman, Matt Dyson. Welcome to the programme.
Oh, hi there, John.
Hi there.
Hi
nice
there.
To see you. Yeah. What are you looking for?
Balloons are Us, I have this this week. It is, believe it or not, America's monthly magazine dedicated to everyone's favourite inflatable party prop. A great how-to special there with balloon specialist Chuck McDonald in this month's edition.
Yeah,
a whole bunch of handy tips in there, including how to blow without losing shape or momentum.
Well, it's a tip we can all do
with. Important, isn't it? Yeah. When the bubble brackets balloon bursts, there's an article on page 44. Interesting piece about former champion balloon blower Carl Tipton, of course, who won the title back in, I think it was 2004.
Oh, Tippy Tip Top, they call him.
Yes,
Tip-top.
Yeah. Tippy Tip Top Tipton. He was actually stripped of all his medals for balloon blowing after admitting that he used non-regulation balloons in terms of strength and size also.
Very much the Lance Armstrong of the balloon blowing world, isn't
it? Yeah, some of his knots were also abnormal as well, I think. And Faraday is another special day in the balloon a lover's calendar, because it's to celebrate Michael Faraday, the inventor of the balloon, 190 years ago. So they have every year Faraday, where you send in reasons on why you love Mr. Faraday and his invention so much, and you can win a limited edition Balloons Are Us mug. It's well worth looking into.
What a party! Imagine the balloons at that party.
Imagine the party props.
I bought in the magazine that's just simply called Grass. It's just called Grass.
Right, okay.
It's a bi-monthly look at the world of grass and how best to keep your patch looking tip-top. Like Tip-Top Tipton. I wonder if he's there.
Yeah.
Turf Wars, page 21. We return to Rochdale for 2014's mowing championship. Can anyone mow faster and more accurately than the current title holder, John Green?
No way.
His stripes are the stuff of legend.
Yeah. He was born to do it, Green.
The long and short of it is on page 27. Professional grass expert Bruce Stevens. When maintaining your front garden, I've always wondered this. Is it best to go for delicate trim or an all-out scalp? It's a question. It's a question we ask ourselves each morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plus, do you know your grass from your elbow? Page 55, backed by popular demand. Everyone's favourite quiz on identifying different types of grass. Do you know your Gram Monnet from your papyrus sedge? If you do, then you're a sad idiot. It's Grass Magazine and Balloons Are Us. They are the largely irrelevant papers this morning.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
Josh Widdicombe.
We are discussing today reasons you think your neighbours are odd. We have Lucy Beaumont here. Hello.
Hello.
I never thought my neighbours were odd. And you fear that may be that I'm the weird one. Have you? You've had odd neighbours, Lucy.
In Hull, in rented accommodation, I used to move every year to just a different street, and they would, on either side, one of them.
What kind of things happen?
Well, mostly because the walls have been so thin in the houses I've.
Yeah.
So you can hear. I had a guy. His bed was next to my bed, you know, but in the wall in between, and my alarm once didn't go off, and all he had to do was go, Lucy. And he walked me up through the wall. And he used to come in drunk from the pub and play, you know, honky-tonk piano. he used to play it and say, what song do you want? Tell me which song you want and I'll play it.
To you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my word. Did you know... Did you ever speak to him without the wall being there?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I used to go around the back to try and not... And
it's a bit like Blind Date.
He knew when I was avoiding him, so he would, like, find me.
Oh, God.
I felt we were living together. Josh Widdicombe.